We bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you bets. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
The magnificent Monday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network. 20 minutes from now, the Whale Capper Drew Dinsick stops by from NBC Sports to talk the NBA playoffs and the NFL draft. Next hour on the show, Ken and I will give you all our bets for tonight. Excited to talk about the Cavaliers and the Magic, Game 2 in Cleveland. The Sixers and my Knicks, Game 2 from the Garden. And the Lakers and the Nuggets, Game 2 in Denver, where the Lakers have gotten bet over the last little bit. Okay, great. I'll take a better price on Denver to cover the spread tonight. Please and thank you very much. Bets for the National Hockey League as well. A couple Game 1s tonight and a Game 2 also. And we will continue to roll through the NBA and the hockey postseason as we move along. But as promised, we'll start the hour talking the NFL draft. Closed hour 2 saying, you know, maybe this is going to get nuts. Consensus says this is going to happen, but it's not really based on anything. There's no hard information out there. I think like we would know if that were the case. And I ended the hour saying like Daniels has gotten bet a little bit more to be the second overall pick, but it feels like that's more based on what reporters are saying and not like anyone actually has like the answers to the test. So, Ken, I thought you did a great job telling a couple stories. Last segment, like, okay, here's what happened last year with Will Levis. Here's what happened last year with C.J. Stroud. Just things to think about as we get set to bet the NFL draft, round one on Thursday. Now let's kind of, like, apply some of these things here, bets that we might want to make here, and start with the second overall pick. Kind of, do you agree with my thesis? And it's okay if not, and you don't have to agree with it, right? That this is going to get nuts, and Adam Peters is not telling anyone what he wants to do, but we think they're going to take a quarterback. Like, why can't it be J.J. McCarthy? So this is not me saying, like, run and bet everything on J.J. McCarthy. Just like, if you were going to bet into this market, like, wouldn't McCarthy be the best guy because he's the longest price? Curious what you think about betting the second overall pick.
Yeah, I think because I have a couple people that do some other betting like for me, and they'll ask me because they knew that we did so well on those two drafts. They'll be like, you got anything like this week? Like you got like any tips, any info you want to pass along? And my response this morning to both of them was the same, which was I don't have any information. I don't expect to have any information. If I do, it'll be like the day of, and I don't think it'll be something you can bet really confidently. It's just the way last year went. That's how last year went, much different than the previous 2 years. And you know, maybe for other people it was different. Maybe they got great info. I didn't. But I said, look, so if you're looking for an approach to bet the draft without information, I mean, obviously, like, if the goal is just to make money and you don't have the goods, my advice is going to be don't bet the NFL draft. But that's not really what this conversation is. Everybody wants to bet the NFL draft because it's fun. So that's not, like, I'll say that first, but, like, that doesn't apply to most people that are listening to this or thinking about betting. You want to bet the NFL draft because you have an idea about what might happen or it's fun or it's just whatever. You like betting. And so what I told these two people was just like, look, I don't have any info, but the approach that I would take, at least, like, just, like, today or tomorrow to start is I would take a contrarian approach because I would view this, all of this as like a really big guess. And maybe it's a little bit of an educated guess. Like, I mean, you know, if it was all a guess, then like Michael Penix could go second or something. But like we know a few things about how the players are ordered and we could feel a little confident in how some of the stuff is going to go. Just even like really, like just that, okay, well, like May and McCarthy are probably getting drafted before Penix. Something like a statement like that. Like we know a few things and we know
Caleb's
kind of
gonna go first.
Caleb's gonna go first. You know, like three wide receivers are pretty likely to go at least in the first 12 to 15 picks. Like you can be really
the Giants will screw up. Right? There are some things we know.
Yeah, win 4 games next year, pick even higher than they did this year.
With a new GM and coach.
A few things. Yeah, that's true. That would happen, and that's almost certainly that would happen in that situation. So they said, like, well, what do you mean contrarian? And I go, well, just if you see a big price in the market right now that's not Caleb Williams, I would at a minimum view it skeptically, which doesn't mean you have to bet, but I would view it skeptically, and I would just say, like, all right, how much of an assumption is being made here, and is this something that I want to challenge? Because I don't think there's, I don't think this is a confident betting market, a confident opinion that's like kind of being offered here. You know, a bet is created. I say this all the time. A bet is created when the market thinks something and you think something different. Here, that's going to be probability. Not that you think it can't be the player who's the big favorite, but you think, like, well, it's maybe two or three players, and it's going to be one of them, and the guy who's the favorite is one of the two or three, but there are two other players that it could be as well. And the example I would say last year, and I promise we'll start spinning it forward, just like, I think Jalen Carter and the fifth overall pick is a really good example of this from last year, where again, like, there's a difference between nothing, Stroud's 50,000, it's an hour before the draft. There's a difference between that and, like, Sunday before the draft, Monday before the draft. Oh, like, a lot of links between Jalen Carter and Seattle with the fifth overall pick. His draft position was 5.5. The under on it was -300 a year ago today. And like this, like that's the one that stands out to me, is like, we all kind of thought something, but there was never like, well, I got it. Like you got it from somebody, like, it's Carter. Like, no, it was kind of just like, yeah, everybody kind of thinks that, and it makes sense. Be where it makes sense. That's like a really terrible thing. And so, like, well, it kind of makes sense that they would take him, and they didn't. They took Witherspoon instead, and everybody lost that bet all those unders and all that, like, you know, the draft CLV and all that stuff. So that was one where like an assumption was made, got bet out, and it was like, actually, just no, just that's not what it was. So kind of like if you were trying to figure out, is there something like that happening now? And again, like, Carter could have gone fifth, but just where there's like an assumption being made without maybe rock solid information. I think Adam hit on it, and I was glad that he did. And it's got to be like Titans to take an offensive lineman, and, you know, like, and who that would be, Joe Alt or somebody else with what, the seventh overall pick. And I, like, I actually have the MGM stuff up right here. So Alt, this is Jalen Carter 2.0, just in terms of how the market looks, not in terms of what the result necessarily has to be, where there's like a big assumption on the Monday of the draft about something that's not like one or two, something that's like pretty far down that needs some dominoes to fall to get to the pick, and where we don't actually really know anything. So it's not like Ken knows who the seventh pick is or that it's not Joe Alt. Just like, that's a pretty big assumption that he's like 60% to be the seventh pick when we don't know who 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are, even that the Titans have him rated first as the lineman they would want to take. A lot of assumptions into that -175. That would be an example of something maybe that you could challenge.
That this stuff is kind of fun to talk about. Like, talking about the draft is fun, but it's like a betting event. Kind of sucks now. I liked it a lot more when, like, I had the answers to the test like 2 days before the test was passed out. Like, that was more fun than this.
Or even an hour, like, before. It's Trey Lance. It is.
That was really great.
Like, short of, here's a photo of the envelope. It's Trey Lance. Right, yeah.
That was great. And it's like when I was a sophomore in college and members of the football team at school like stole the accounting final and I had it and I was able to get 100 on the test. That was really great. Also, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Yes. But like, answers. I like having the answers to the test before the test is given. And right now, like, I don't have answers. And if no one has answers, then a lot of the stuff is probably wrong. You bet with Nick and Ken talking the NFL draft. And I'll give you an offshoot of what you just talked about with Joe Alt. And Eric Eager, last hour with us, goes, there are teams that like Fashanu more than they like Joe Alt. Also mentioned that teams might like Neighbors more than Marvin Harrison, something that we reported on the show like 2 months ago might be the case. Now, maybe it's not Arizona, but there are teams that prefer Malik Neighbors to Marvin Harrison. So if there are teams that like Fashanu better than Alt, and I was DMing on Twitter today with a bunch of people, not that they have the answers, no one has the answers right now that I'm aware of at least, but people that are smart as when it concerns betting the NFL draft, that think like JC Latham from Alabama, it's like just as likely to go to the Chargers as another offensive lineman because of his versatility, can play on the right side. Remember, the Chargers have Rashawn Slater already that plays on the left. They need help basically everywhere on the offensive line. Again, this is not me saying that the Chargers are going to take Latham. They could take Alt. They could trade out. They could take Neighbors. They could do a lot of different things. Alt, control, delete, is a huge favorite to be the first offensive lineman selected. I think at BetMGM before the show, Ken, he was like -600, -700, something like that.
He's -650 right now. He's -6.
Okay.
Open.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, maybe he's the first offensive lineman taken. Or maybe he's not. Or maybe he's not. What's that based off of? Like mock drafts? I'm not even denigrating mock drafts. It's a great content device, right? Like, what's it based off of? Yeah. What's it based off of? I feel like maybe everything's just going to be really chalky, Ken. It feels like, and like this will develop into actual bets over the course of the next couple days, but I feel like there's going to be an opportunity to take some shots at big prices. Not that they're definitely going to win, but everyone thinks things like Ault is being priced like it's close to a certainty that he's going to be the pick, and I don't think it's based on anything. It's based on like mock drafts and reports.
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. See where it gets you.
Well, you say like, well, it could just be chalky. I mean, like, can you remember a draft where like everything everybody thought Monday was true? I can't. And that was when we were getting really good info, and it still wasn't the case. Like, I mean, I'm trying to remember a bunch of other historical examples. I mean, what was the draft where like J.C. Horn like slipped into the top 10 and like there was like the corners at like 7, 8, 9, 10? That was a thing.
Horn went 8 and Sertan went a little later. And like everyone thought Sertan was going to be the first cornerback off the board. And Horn was the first corner to Carolina.
Right. I mean, we could do this forever. And this was even when I feel like the info was leaking like a faucet, at least to us. And you still had stuff where it was like, well, okay, and I'm talking about like how it looks Monday versus how it's actually going to look Thursday. How it looks Thursday morning is going to look a little more like what it's going to look like Thursday. It's going to get a little more efficient, you would think, as we get closer and more stuff starts coming out. Even stuff that's like public, where it's just like, hey, this is more likely to happen. So why don't we do this? Like, I have all the pick markets up here from MGM. All right, like what is the wackiest price that interests you in each pick 2 to 10? I have them all up right here. So, like,
all right, so
the second overall pick, Jaden Daniels, and I mean, honestly, like, this is actually an exercise where you should go first, probably. So, in the second overall pick, Daniels is -375, May is 3, McCarthy is 12, and I'm going to read the crazy ones for a bunch of these, and you can just be like, no, Harrison's 100, Caleb's 100, that's not going to happen, and Penix is 150, that's not going to happen, but like Harrison's 100, like your answer could be 100 Marvin Harrison.
I don't know, Michael Penix is the best kept secret in the draft, maybe he's going first. He's 36 years old with 9 season ending injuries, but yeah, he's the best kept secret in the draft.
Best kept secret. Oh, well, how'd he do last year? Was he off the radar? Yeah, he played in the national title game.
And missed every important throw in the game. Best kept secret in the draft.
I appreciated that. I really, really appreciated that as someone who won a truckload of money on Michigan. That was great. We who had McCarthy. So Daniels -375. So I think the exercise
JJ,
here is going to be like
easy.
In all of these, you can't take the favorite. You have to bet someone else, and it has to be based on price. So even if you think May is the second most likely guy to go to, you might want to take McCarthy because it's 12. So it's basically between May 3, McCarthy 12. You would take McCarthy because like you're the Washington no one knows anything theory. Basically something
right
like that.
But like do you agree with that?
Do you think I think so. Let me ask you a football question. The reason why everybody linked Daniels and May with Washington was because of Kingsbury, right? And wasn't the whole thing that like McCarthy doesn't make any sense there? Wasn't that what like people said? So like is anything I just said true, and does that apply here?
Well, I think like but like that's I think that's like really flimsy. That's my opinion.
Right.
It's like, oh, but like oh, they hired Cliff Kingsbury, so Jaden Daniels like has to be the pick because he's going to run like this specific offense. Great. I think McCarthy's the most interesting at the price. If we think it's true, but then like, how much better of an athlete, and I'm asking, like, you watch more college football than me, as part of my, like, I would like to not get divorced, is Drake May like that much of a better athlete than J.J. McCarthy? Like, is that a thing that's true?
I mean, just like you never, well, McCarthy played with an injury for a bunch of the season, and like they didn't ask him to do a bunch of the stuff that May did. So like, and the system's different. So I'm like not qualified to give that answer, like the like combine answer almost. I'm sure people are yelling, yes, May's more athletic at their screen right now. I don't know the answer. It's May or McCarthy. I have to answer McCarthy just based on what we have right now, just because of the price, which is the whole exercise. I think we should do this for every pick after we have Whalen, and I have 3 through 10, and it's if you
give
don't
me,
like
give
the
me
favorite,
three here.
May's -190, so you can't bet him, and it doesn't matter who went the first two. Like we don't have this is not a mock draft. It's always an evolving discussion. Daniels +250, McCarthy +350, Harrison 25, Bo Nix 150 for some reason, which I don't really fully understand. I can give you like Alt Bowers. Neighbors is in here at 150. So May minus 190, can't pick him. Daniels 250, McCarthy 350. If you want to get really crazy, Marvin Harrison's 25.
Isn't it just like McCarthy for all of these? Because he's the longest price at all of these
spots. Why can't
it
be Harrison? Why can't somebody trade with the Patriots? Because the offer is going to be asking price is going to be too great to go up and get a receiver.
No, they could. My thought is that the teams that want a quarterback, like, well, that will always outweigh. Like, if you're the Patriots and you want to trade out, like, you're going to get more for a quarterback. Now, maybe no one wants to come up and get a quarterback, and if they're dead set on trading down, maybe that's what ends up happening. I think it's more unlikely.
What if people don't like McCarthy as much as we think, too? So that's like you trade up for one guy, that's it.
But it could be like May or Daniels on the board.
Well, it has to.
Doesn't have to be McCarthy.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL draft and the NBA playoffs with Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper from NBC Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Tonight, we've got bets for tonight, but not right now. It's coming up next hour on the show, in the final hour, the power hour of the program. Ken and I will get back to the NFL draft 20 minutes from now. We'll roll through picks 3 through 10 and say, if you can't bet the favorite, if you think things are going to hashtag get nuts, how's it going to happen? We'll discuss 20 minutes from now. But joining us right now, is our good friend from NBC Sports and the Deep Dive Podcast, the very handsome Drew Dinsick, better known to you and yours as the Whale Capper on Twitter at @whale_capper to talk some NBA playoffs and the NFL draft. Well, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. Great time of year. How you doing?
Oh, it's great time of year. It's great to be here. The week of the NFL draft and the week of round one of the NBA playoffs is maybe among my favorite weeks of sports in the spring for sure. The games being back to back to back in the NBA. It's just so fun. It's been a quiet draft cycle until relatively recently. So excited that it's starting to get cranked up.
And well, I know you did a ton of other draft content today, so probably been asked this question a fair number of times, or a version of this question a fair number of times. But like, we'll start simple. Give me like something in the top 10 that you're like pretty confident about from a betting standpoint, like a price that you think is good, a pick that you think is good, a strong opinion that you have, not like, you know, hey, I really like this minus 500 that like everybody bet already or something like that. Like something, you know, something, maybe it's a little hot take-ish, but you would actually bet. It's something going on in the first top 10 picks of the draft come up on Thursday.
I mean, the only thing that's certain in the top 10 picks is that Caleb Williams is going one. Although it has been fun watching the highest liquidity pool finally went up this morning about lunchtime-ish my time. And there was some pretty aggressive betting action on Jaden Daniels to go second, which is always interesting. From what I can tell you, you want a little back. How did this happen? Did somebody leak info? Like, where is this coming from? It's probably coming from Jaden Daniels' camp and or a little bit of Daniel Jeremiah backpedaling on who he thinks two will be. It seems like DJ, who is hugely influential in this kind of information space, was pre-committed that at least through his evaluations, that Drake May was the second best quarterback. So he was just sticking with him, like going second. And for whatever reason, he's flip-flopped. And that has had sort of this trickling effect because just sort of watching the prices and kind of knowing how sensitive the auto mover is offshore, it seems like somebody bet something in the ballpark of like 100K to win 20K on Jaden Daniels going second today. And you know, that's a non-trivial move, so you pay attention to that sort of stuff. And I think it makes sense. It's perfectly real. You know, this is kind of what was expected once they kind of, you put together your coaching staff and you have a player and offensive coordinator in Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury who seem to fit better than Drake May and Cliff Kingsbury. So yeah, I'm not gonna dispute it. I don't have strong opinion against it. And if they're, you know, that obviously then trickles into, well, what do the Patriots do at third? They seem very likely, in my opinion, to stick and take a quarterback, which would be Drake May. So if you want exposure to Jaden Daniels going second, Drake May is a better price with a lower limit to go third. I think that's fine. Neither of those are going to make or break my draft day whatsoever. Some of the funner, weirder, long shottier stuff that I've been playing in the top 10, which is still available, is I can't believe this myself. This was one where you have to kind of hide your own personal biases about things. And I kind of assumed that there's very low likelihood that that the Chargers really were going to go into this season with the wide receiver room that they currently have, and that they wouldn't use a top five pick to try to help bolster some of their, playmaker talent. But it sounds like they are really kind of locked in on a tackle, which is amazing to me. But, when you look at fit and scheme and you hear some of the rumblings, it might not be Joe Alt who they have eyes for. And I don't know if this is in some ways based on people hearing who they've been sincerely evaluating, because they may think they're picking 11th and not fifth. But it seems like the guy that they have the most chemistry going with is JC Latham. And I've played a bunch of his unders. I've played him exacta to go fifth, just in case the Chargers do something wild. And I think just them taking an offensive tackle is starting to look more likely, which is insane. But that it is where we it is what it is. And I think, from a macro standpoint, the top 10 is going to come down to whether or not the Vikings trade in. That's going to kind of shape the way that is, goes from the standpoint of are there four quarterbacks or three. And I'm kind of warming up to this idea that the Vikings making the trade for a second first round pick this year was just a really nice way to just sort of send a message to the other teams interested in trading up for a quarterback, not to even think about it, because we'll come over the top and we'll outbid you if you try to do make a deal. Having two picks in this year's draft of any of the teams trying to trade down would be more appealing than having future first round picks from the likes of the Broncos or the Raiders or whoever. So I think the Vikings have done a nice job of effectively creating an impossible bidding situation for anyone behind them to get ahead of them. And ultimately they may just take JJ at 11.
Well, give us maybe 90 seconds to 2 minutes on this one, so we can save some time for some NBA, or maybe Ken wants to hit you with another one on the NFL draft. How confident are you that picks 1 through 3 are Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May 3? And if you are not extremely confident in that happening, how do you think it gets upended? Could McCarthy crack the top three? How do you see it happening if you're not that confident in the top three?
I mean, I'm not very confident. I don't have.
So then, how does it go?
How
would you bet? How about that? That's probably a better question then. You bet it if you're not that confident?
Yeah. Well, as a neutral observer, it's atypical for someone to donk 100K on something that's not info based. So I think ultimately, that's maybe where there's, there are draft bets that you make because you have the nuts, and there are draft bets that you make because you're watching at what the market is telling you. And there are draft bets you make that you're just like, this doesn't feel right. And I would put, any bet you're making on Daniels 2, Drake 3, which is highly correlated pair. Like, that's a super correlated pair. I don't think JJ McCarthy, from what I've heard, is most realistically your QB4. I don't think there's any chance he's breaking down the door here. But I also don't know that there's, kind of perfect, I don't know that the decision has been made in Washington. I don't have the nuts there. So I'm just looking at what the market is telling me. And at the prices that are currently available, which is to say that Drake May that Daniels is going to go 2 and Drake May is going to go 3. The market is telling you that that's something like a 60% chance to happen. And okay, that's fine. I'm fine saying that that's the probability, but I don't have the nuts to tell me that that there's bets to be made there. Just kind of interesting observations today. And I think if there is a huge upset, what is it? It's that the Washington GM overrides the coaching staff and takes Drake May 2.
Oh, man.
It's really interesting, right?
Every year the draft's just really, even if you're like, we all like to bet it, like, even if you're, it's just so interesting, even if you're not betting it though, and like, if you are betting it, maybe it's even more interesting. But it's just like, yeah, it's like human psychology and even just like behavioral economic stuff, where it's like a game theory with what teams think other teams are going to do. Like, there's just like a lot of cool stuff going on. It's like pretty cool. I want to ask you about the NBA playoffs, Will, selfishly, because like, now Nick and I might do the NFL draft for like an hour after this, and we probably might have to do a lot of the NBA things. Here's how I'll frame the question for you. Because we did big picture, we did title. Every home team won game one, and basically all those teams were favored. that some of them were, some of the games were closer than others, but like he had close series. Every home team won game one. If there was a team that won game one that you think is still going to lose their series, who would it be?
It'd be the Clippers, but that's hopeful. I had a great round one, weekend in terms of round one results in my favor, with the exception of the Mavericks no showing against the Clippers. I think, yeah, you said it, you know, every home team won, but even more impressively, I believe the first seven covered, and most of those were not close, which is kind of wild. And there were a bunch of unders. Like, it was just a weird, fluky week, weekend. But you know, things breaking in my favor generally. I think, the Boston Celtics are right in, the Peter drawing dead. I think that the Magic are drawing dead personally. And I think that the Celtics realistically getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, having played only eight games, is starting to look likely. And I think that the Bucks kind of answered a lot of questions I had about them, and particularly the health of Dame Lillard. So I am now all of a sudden a lot less concerned that the Bucks are going to get to the next round of the playoffs. And I have some strong positions on the Knicks. So if I'm saying that a team that won game one loses the series, I'm almost certainly looking at the West. I think you can rule out the Nuggets. They answered questions about their matchup pretty emphatically to the good. I think I am, I was prepared to see how the series played out against the Timberwolves before getting involved on a series price there. And boy, did they look like they are a bad matchup for the Suns in exactly the way that everybody said the Suns were a bad matchup for the Timberwolves. And so I'm cooled off on betting that series at all. I think the Timberwolves might just be better. The Thunder, I think, will prevail against the Pelicans. So that leaves us with the Clippers and the Mavs. And I think the Mavericks are a better team. I think they have a higher ceiling. I think there could be some disruption when they reintegrate Kawhi. And I think ultimately there are too many ancillary pieces around the Clippers that you have answers for, and not enough confidence that Harden and Paul George are going to be able to do this for seven games. So give me the Mavs of all the teams that lost round one or game one.
Nick and Ken, you better you bet, talking the NBA playoffs and the NFL draft. The Whale Capper Drew Densick on Twitter at @whale_capper. Whale, one series conspicuous by its absence in your answer, likely because of the injury situations with Joel Embiid and now Tyrese Maxey questionable for tonight's game two for Philadelphia on the road at the Knicks. Knicks about a 5.5-point home favorite in that game, tonight's game two, winning game one on Saturday. And maybe like only a minute for this one, and I'll let Ken finish off with whatever he wants to talk about, only because, well, you didn't mention it here, and this could be like injury dependent, like what are we going to see from Joel Embiid? What do you think we see the rest of the series from the Knicks and the Sixers?
I have Knicks every which way, and I thought they, obviously it was like high leverage shot making that kind of got them across the finish line in game one, but that was about as good an effort as you were going to get from the Sixers and Joel Embiid, and on a quick turnaround, I'm expecting pretty much no contest from them. I laid the 5.5. I think the Knicks are a much better team, and I think the Sixers are in deep trouble. I don't exactly know what the adjustments, the answers, particularly the kind of the tweaks to how you're going to find offense in the absence of an ill Tyrese Maxey looks like a huge, huge problem for the Sixers. And if this game is not competitive entering the fourth quarter, you probably aren't even going to see Embiid in the fourth quarter. You want to put him under bubble wrap and save him for game three, try to turn that series around when you're back at home. So I think, yeah, the Knicks, I think, get a pretty comfortable one tonight. And I think I like some alt spreads on the Knicks here. Like, I would lay up to 9.5 at plus money prices, because I think this could be a no contest.
Yeah, the player props get really interesting too, when it's like, well, if Embiid's a question mark, even if you don't have an opinion on him, then like everyone else is like so much impacted by that, and like who ends up playing. In like a minute here, Whale, we talked in the first hour about not the inevitability, but the high likelihood that Boston-Denver will be the NBA Finals this year. So I think game one of the finals is June 8th or June 6th, something like that. All right, it's game one of the NBA Finals. It's June 8th, it's June 6th. Game one is about to tip off. So we've had like some betting already. Game one's about to tip off. In about a minute here, what is the series price when game one tips off with Denver about to go to Boston to play game one?
Well, Boston, I think you can, if you're covering the NBA Finals, go ahead and get your hotel room now in Boston. If you don't already have that plan, I think you should. I'm less convicted that the Nuggets are going to get there, but boy, oh boy, did they look like clearly the best in the West right now. So I'm fine kind of with that setup. I would make Celtics in that series about minus 205. And Asks is currently rostered. It will depend on whether or not Porzingis is 100% healthy. It'll depend on just in general how much rest they get between the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals, and it'll depend on, you know, how much harder the path has been and the road has been for the Nuggets in terms of fatigue. But I can see a situation where the market's kind of in the -180 to -200 range.
What would you bet? Celtics -205. What would you bet?
No, well, that's my fare. That's where I'm at. So if it's Celtics anything, if it's Celtics anything less than that, if they're in the -180 range, I would lay Celtics. If they're more aggressively priced, it's probably going to be because of the rest advantage, at which point I would just maybe just take Celtics game one. And if you have an appetite for Nuggets, come back on them after game one. But I honestly I don't think there's going to be a price to bet the Celtics that's anywhere close to 100. In the 150 range, which is sort of what the implied future odds right now would say. I think it's going to be more like 200.
Are you ready to fight us to the death?
The Knicks, of course.
You'd bet Boston.
It's going to be incredible.
You would really bet Boston. Do you in like 10 seconds? Do you think a lot of people think like you do that that's the fair price? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are I think that if they open -160 to -180, it gets bet Celtics.
Fascinating.
So interesting.
Drew, you're awesome. You know we love having you. We sincerely appreciate it. On Twitter at @whale_capper, NBC Sports, the Deep Dive Podcast. Good luck with all the bets, my friends. Stay well, and we will talk to you soon.
Best of luck. Let's go, Knicks.
Hell yeah. Go New York, go New York, go. I gotta tell you, man, we got a lot of good stuff on today's show, and we'll talk about some of it next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
That's for tonight in the NBA and the NHL coming up 1 hour from right now. We'll get back to the NBA. We'll get to the NHL postseason next hour on the show as well. Final segment for the day on Stadium. So if you're watching on Stadium and you want to check out the final hour, the Power Hour, highly recommend. 10 out of 10. No notes. Twitch.tv/BetQL, the Odyssey app, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, are one of about a billion radio stations nationwide, including our friends on satellite radio, Sirius XM. Ken, we can get back to 3 through 10 in a second and the exercise that we started at 5 o'clock Eastern time, but Adam Chernoff joined us, Eric Eager joined us, Drew Dinsick joined us. What is like the most interesting thing that came out of any one of those interviews to you as it concerns betting the NFL draft?
Lack of confidence, but I don't think that's surprising. I really enjoyed all three of those interviews. I wouldn't say I was particularly surprised by any of the answers in the three interviews. Like, it wasn't like, I got it from somebody who got it from somebody that it's this and you'll never believe it or something like that. Everything's really cautious. Everything's not information driven. It's more problem solving, or I don't know what the right way to put it is. You're more just like, the exercise that we're doing. All right. So like, if this isn't as certain as it's priced, what do I want to bet if that's the case? And so that's not like Whale says, like, I have the nuts, right? Which is basically just like, I know who the pick is going to be. That's a lot different than, this guy's -300, but we don't really know anything. That's not like, I know who the pick is. They're two totally different approaches, right? And I think the second approach, the like, I don't know who the pick is, but these are the prices, that's the one you're going to have to go with for a long time here, until like Thursday at 6 o'clock. That's what you're going to have to go with. I thought Whale's note on someone, I have the bookmaker screen up, like somebody betting Daniels to win a lot, is interesting because it happened and nobody else bet that and nobody else bet any other pick that way. So that on its own is just like, all right, it's worth knowing that it happened. And you and I were even talking about this during the break, like if you knew, like Washington's, let's say they called Jaden Daniels yesterday, they said like, you're the pick. And if you like knew that and you were, like think about the Jontay Porter situation, like you were like some connected person to the player involved and you were trying to bet this, like when would you bet it? And for
Jontay Porter's got a lot of time on his hands right now. Maybe it is him.
Yeah. How about that Larry Nance comment, by the way? I think I watched that press conference clip like 20 times. Like the funniest thing. He's like, I'm betting on the Pelicans. Wait, I'm not betting. I'm not betting. I'm not Jontay Porter. Like I'm not even, like I'm like not a Jontay Porter. I think was like one of the middle.
So how about Larry Nance like closing the game last night for the, we can do that. We'll do that another time when we talk about the Pelicans.
Maybe
the
play Valanciunas and 75 rebounds. I don't know, whatever. So, yeah, just it's really interesting. Like, look, somebody did bet that. Like, you don't bet. Whale even says, like, you don't bet that for fun. Like, you don't bet that. Like, watch me mess with everybody and bet this $100,000 on Jaden Daniels. Like, cheaper ways to mess with people. So it's worth knowing, but it's also still Monday. Yeah, I think we've done a good job in this last hour of the show of detailing a bunch of examples historically to remind people of how flimsy this stuff is and how it can look one thing, but it's actually another thing, how not to trust information that you read, especially that's publicly available, and assume everyone else has access to the same info. All of that stuff, I think, still holds through the three interviews. But look, these are three really smart people. Those are three people who follow the NFL closer than I do. And you still come away with, like, I don't know. And I don't think the three of them know. And they came on and tell us, this is not me insulting them. Like, they came on and tell you they didn't know. It's a best guess. And if the market's a best guess, then that's all it is.
And just, I'll say this just on the Daniels note, like when to bet it, if you knew, I guess you could theoretically get to Thursday and more people know, and the price is a lot bigger. But like, I guess my thing would be like, if you knew for sure, it wouldn't matter what the price was, right? Because like, you just win. You win. Like, you have the answer.
It wouldn't cost you as much. You wouldn't have to lay as much. Depends on how much money you have access to, right? If you got to lay minus 1,000, you got to post. I mean, this is like an in-the-weeds conversation about, like, credit outs versus having to post
up somewhere. My guess is the person that's laying, and you, to be fair, you would know a lot better about the stuff than me. If you've got $100,000 to burn on Monday, I'm guessing you have more money to burn on stuff on Thursday, would be my guess. Maybe
Well, you'd hope so. if Drake May gets drafted second, you don't have $100,000 more to burn on the next day. It's a really, really interesting note. Is it predictive? Tough to say. I think it's worth knowing about is just the only way that I would put it right now. Because I don't have the info, so I can't be like, well, that definitely means this on Monday. To be fair, it was the second the market opened, basically. So it's like your first chance to get even that close to that amount of money in there. And
like hovering over the mouse, like up.
Click, 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 click. And the odd, just there's some language that he used there, the auto mover. For people who don't know, like certain offshores, think, you know, because you might go to like, you know, whatever book you like to bet at, and you might make a bet. And when you make the bet, like nothing happens, like the odds don't change. You just made your bet and it's like in your pending wagers and that's it. And like, that's probably all you know about how it works. Like, I clicked the button and I made the bet and it's in my account and like, that's it. And depending on the amount that you're betting or whether your account has been flagged or not as like sharp or however you want to put it, like someone whose opinion matters, someone who they should move off of. I've had this experience a few times with like multi-way futures recently where like I'm trying to bet enough that it's like there's an auto mover. And basically what all that means is, like, when you click the button, everything on the screen flashes because, like, you have bet something. So, for example, like, when I bet the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup, like, I multiple clicked in many places, and they went from, like, 760 to 710 to 690 to 670, like, that kind of thing. And, like, there's not somebody on the opposite end of the screen when that's... You're like, wow, they responded really fast. It's just, like, it's a computer program. It's a robot. You know, think about it that way. Like, it's called an auto mover. And that's just, like, so when that's happening... You don't get super burned on somebody betting $100,000 on Jaden Daniels. Like, imagine if you were like, well, I'm going to take my coffee break for 5 minutes. I hope nothing happens between now and the time I come back. And you come back and you're like, whoa, somebody bet $100,000. I should move that market. Like, obviously, that's a really bad way to run a business if you're taking a lot of money. If you're not taking a lot of money, it doesn't really matter. But just like, I think a lot of people listening that bet are like, well, duh. But yeah, like, whatever, we're a national show. People might not know that stuff. They just like making their $20 bet.
I think the majority of people don't know that, honestly. Yeah. So I think that's good information for people. I would say like, my guess is like 95% of the audience or more like doesn't know that.
Yeah, so just different books run their operations in different ways. Books that take a lot of money on something and like want to move off, especially a market like the draft, where if somebody's betting something, there's a higher likelihood something's up than if they're just betting like the Knicks game tonight or something where there's, you know, or a game where there's no known injuries. And so just, you know, the auto mover is set up so that they don't get crushed in terms of the price that they deal on that stuff. It changes the second the bet is made and no one else can bet at that price.
Does the conversation with Drew and that nugget on Jaden Daniels, does that change how you feel right now about the second overall pick, where Daniels was minus 275 at BetMGM, now minus 375, with this information in tow? That does not have to be right. Like Whale saying, like, I guess it could just be someone with money to burn. Who the hell knows, right? Does it change the way you feel about number two? Or someone who thinks they know?
It's probably not frivolous. It's just... what's the mark at the start of The Big Short? There's like the Mark Twain quote, like it's not what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. So like you're convinced that something is like those are the things that get you
stupid line.
That something has to be true. Yeah. What did he ever do in his life? What did he ever write? So it just, you know, the idea that like, okay, like someone's convinced of something. Yeah. It's just funny. Cause you pair that. I always go back to the Ron Rivera appearance on our show. That's always what I go back to where it's just like, what do you think the Commanders are going to do at number two? Well, they're taking Jaden Daniels.
And dude, like you were on vacation and Baldy said the same thing. Like he thinks it's decided that they're taking Daniels.
Now there's a third person that does because they bet $100,000 on it. I'll say this again. Like I have no bets on the NFL draft right now. So I don't need something. I'm not rooting for something. None of this really makes me want to go bet the second overall pick. I'll just be honest. Like it doesn't make me want to bet Daniels and Chase. It doesn't make me as in Chase the Steam on it. Not like Jamar Chase. It doesn't make me want to bet like the other players necessarily. Maybe the other positions are where we end up like putting in some bets on some stuff just because like this all would make me really nervous to like tread into knowing what's happened so far.
More likely to go earlier in the NFL draft, Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer?
And then I was just thinking about the Rush song, Tom Sawyer, too. Nobody ever made a song called Huckleberry Finn like that.
This seems to roll off the tongue quite as well.
Yeah. Who's the one that went in the raft down the river? Huck Finn?
Huck Finn. Yeah.
Yeah. Huck.
Huckleberry.
Huck Costos or Huck Barkley.
Let's move on. So we got to continue. I won't continue the exercise here. So third overall pick. Do you have the market open?
Yeah, I got everything. May favorite minus 190. So, I mean, maybe eventually as the week goes on, if there's more and more certainty that Daniels is two, the question everybody will be asking is, all right, like should maybe more of a favorite to go three because you'll basically remove Daniels.
What would NSYNC say about the question? What would NSYNC say about the question about number three?
They wouldn't know either. They probably get pretty good information even still now, but they're probably pretty connected. But some of them at least, they would probably be like, "Is it gonna be May?" Like they inflected at the end, right? Exactly. Yeah. For everybody, Jaden Daniels, tear it up their heart if he goes somewhere else. So May -190. Daniels +250, this is third overall pick. McCarthy +350, which is just like funny to see that price with that player versus a month ago, 6 weeks ago, as his stock has fallen, or his stock has risen rather. Harrison 25-1. Don't really have to do anything after that, I think. Four players for this spot. Daniels might be gone already or not. What's the best contrarian approach here? I guess that's the right way to frame it.
McCarthy.
Again, so the right approach in every pick is just bet J.J. McCarthy. That's what it sounds like so far. Two and three.
Do you disagree? Like,
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I think the right answer is.
I also don't. Maybe the right answer is just Drake May third, if like McCarthy's going to be certain to be the second pick.
Oh, like if you mock McCarthy two to be crazy, then May is just still third, so nothing changed?
No, like if let's say like the week goes, let's say tomorrow Daniels is an even bigger favorite, whatever. Like, and start to think whatever. We think Daniels is going to be the pick. If Drake May is going to be this price, I don't know. Maybe Drake May is the best pick based off like what Eager said. Eager's like really plugged in, and he was basically who's like least likely to fall. His answer was Drake May.
Sure, I think that makes a lot of sense. So I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, we haven't even done like the picks where we really take shots yet. Like the fourth overall pick is next. That's where Harrison's -225. And we don't even know if Arizona's making the pick. That's the first non-quarterback. Although they do apparently really like Marvin Harrison, says people who may not know. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Too. All right. You know what we do know? Final hour, power hour coming up next, but not on Stadium. So head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL. I guess we're going to do a lot more NFL draft. We will get to all our bets for tonight in the NBA and the National Hockey League.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL.